I'd like to welcome our speakers this morning. We have Miss Sue, known lovingly by most of us, or Suzanne Vieter. And then we have Miss Kim, known lovingly, or Kim Yonowski. Okay. Miss Sue's going to speak to us first, and I'd like to introduce her. I asked her for her bio. I think that's one of the most difficult things for women to do, is write something nice about ourselves. So I read through what she gave me, and then I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? So I'm going to read out what the Lord said, and then I'll interject it with what she said, okay? Sue has been married to Mike for 44 years. She's a wife, a mother, and a grandmother. She accepted Jesus as her personal Savior on August 4th, 1974. As a result of our radio ministry known as Telephone Time, which is now Grace Hour, she has worked with the littlest ones at the Learning Center for 27 years. In my experience, she epitomizes Matthew 6:6. She has served in secret, seeking no personal gain. And today we have the absolute privilege of hearing from her. But before I welcome her to the podium, or to her couch, I thought that was a podium, I'd like to read a small portion of her testimony. Quote, I am what I am by the grace of God, because of the word of God invested in me over 40 years, beginning with a faithful man of God, Pastor Stevens, Telephone Time, Grace Hour, church services, rap, seminars, Bible college classes. If you think there's nothing to do in our ministry, take note. And the many ladies who have been dear, dear friends to me as we've raised our families together, serving God, supporting Pastor Schaller and his amazing wife, and the many pastors and their wives going into all the world with the gospel, end quote. Thank you, Sue, for your availability and also for affording us the privilege of receiving from you a portion of what God has done in your life over these many decades. Please welcome with me Miss Sue.
Is it on?
Hi. I was telling Jean Marie, all week I've been sitting in my lounge chair, and I was saying, I'd love to have a lounge chair to sit on the stage, because I had all my notes on my table like this, and I couldn't believe it. We have lounge chairs on my table. It was awesome. So when I first got Jean Marie's text, and she said, you know, you're on a list to be, to, you know, speak at the women's seminar, my first response is, oh, I'm the best. And, you know, because I was laid up in bed, I had a sore back and neck. And the first thing that I could hear my 91-year-old mother-in-law saying to me was, honey, I can't, he can, so I think I'll let him. So at the end of the summer, I was in my preschool class, and I was going through, you know, my locker and getting it ready for the fall, and I was, you know, going through my Bible cards, my picture cards, and I came across two cards in particular that caught my attention, and they were two women at a well, and I just sat there and I was reading them and I was just going through memories and just loving the stories of how two women, I'm gonna pull this right in front of me, how two different women at a well, their lives were changed in a moment, in a day. And as I was reading these stories, they were very profound to me. They brought back memories. And I was thinking, gee, well, maybe you might want me to share a little bit with one of the moms or one of my coworkers. not realizing today I would be sharing with my friends and my coworkers today. So I just see God's hand. And I'm just really honored. Some of you I've known for decades, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, we've been friends in this ministry. And it's like a marriage or a family, or it's like co-workers. We see the best and the worst in each other, but we know we're loved, and we've learned to see each other in the finished work. So I'm going to stand up for this one. So I was remembering a story. I was remembering one particular mom. She was Dutch. Her name was Marie. This was like years ago, 10 years ago. And she had a little boy. She had a little boy, Philip. Shortly after he was born, he came down with spinal meningitis. And so he had physical disabilities. And then a couple of years later, she had Brian. And then she had twins. And I just remember how faithful she was. She would bring those children in to the nursery, to services, and we would just embrace her and encourage her and say, go, go hear the word, be with your friends. And Philip, we made sure Philip had his own space because he would just run back and forth and back. He had a lot of energy. And we gave him his space, and then he would sit and play with blocks and get up and laugh and run. And we just were loving Marie, just supporting her. And when she came back, I would say, you know what, Marie, I can't wait to see your little Philip in his glorified body in heaven, because we're going to see him running down those streets with a banner, laughing and singing. And God makes no mistakes, and he loves us just the way we are. And just to, you know, encourage her. So a couple of years later, I had her son, Brian, in my preschool class. And I remember waking up that morning, and it was Easter time, and I was just saying, God, how do I explain finished work to children? And when I went in to my class that morning, there were maybe a half a dozen of moms that were just standing around waiting for the 9 o'clock Bible college class with Pastor Stephen. So we're just kind of all hanging out, and I was saying, just pray for me. I really want to explain finished work to these little kids. And so Brian came up to me with this box, this cute little boy. He said, hey, Miss Shoe. He would call me Miss Shoe. He couldn't say Sue. He goes, I got to show you these shoes. And I go, oh, great, great. So he took out a box. It's show and tell. So he took out the box. And I said, oh, let's get some of your friends to help me. So we had five little kids across the room there, and the mothers are all watching, and we're having fun with this. And first he gave me a block of wood, so I gave a block of wood to one child. Then the next shoe was like slightly carved with a little form in it. That was the second child. The third child, it was completely, this wooden Dutch shoe was completely smooth, and you could slip your foot in. The fourth one was this beautiful, polished, red shoe. But then the fifth one, I let Brian hold it, and it was beautiful. It was polished. It had all these designs on. And he goes, look, Miss Sue, it's finished. It's all finished. And I just looked up. I felt like Christ just stepped into the room. It took my breath away. And I'm looking up at the moms, and we're like wiping our tears away. And I'm saying, isn't that God, that he loves us just the way we are, and he doesn't make any mistakes, and it doesn't matter where we are, where the shoe is. You know, we could feel like we're a chunk of wood. We're like being carved, you know, or he can get his foot in the shoe, or it's beautifully bright and red, you know, but it just reminded us, you know, how much God loves us, and it doesn't matter where we're at in our walk with him, he loves us just the way we are. So I'm like, all right, moms, go. Go get to that Bible college class, and we'll take care of the kids, and we'll have fun. So I was just thinking of all these memories, and I was just thinking how much God loves us. So as I was getting, now I'm going to get my notes here. I love that I have this table, because this is what I did all week, just putting my notes together and just getting things ready. So I have my picture cards. I brought them, and they're like postcards from heaven. I took them. I brought them. So we have the woman at the well, and that's in John chapter 4, 3 to 42, and that's our first story in the New Testament. So when you're hot and tired and you're thirsty, what's the first thing you go for? And I mean physically, emotionally, spiritually, what's the first thing we go for? And it's water. It's God's gift to us. For us, we can go to a sink and just, you know, get a drink of water. With me, I get my Brita and I take the water and I'm cleaning it and I'm filling up all the pitchers and the coffee pots and Duke's little bowl and my grandmother's pitcher of water. You know, I'm just getting that, filling up the water each day. And but I was reading Pastor Chris and Julie Armin's blog from Malawi, Africa, and right now he was sharing how they have a severe drought. They have a severe drought in Malawi, and a lot of the church families don't have water, running water, which we take for granted. They don't have water, running water in their homes and also in their capital. And he was saying how he was thankful to have a large water tank in his backyard. But Pastor Chris was saying maybe it's God's way of identification with the people whom they minister to. And so, you know, I was just thinking of the woman at the well. And I'm just going to read quickly these two stories. And I apologize ahead of time if I sound like a preschool teacher with a Boston accent. And I'm just trying to calm it down a little, slow it down. I'm telling you, this morning I was sitting in my lounge chair saying, gosh, I wish I could have this up on the stage with all my notes in front of me. And I couldn't believe that this is what they have. Jean Marie did it. I love it. All right. So in John 4, 3 to 42, I'll just read little portions. One day, Jesus and his disciples had been walking for a long time. Jesus sat down beside a well near a town in Samaria. Jesus rested by the well while his disciples went into the town to buy food. As Jesus sat there, a Samaritan woman came to the well with her water jug to get water. Usually a Jewish man would not even speak to a Samaritan woman because the Jews did not like Samaritans. Jesus was different. He asked the woman, "Would you please give me a drink of water?" The woman was surprised. "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why do you ask me for a drink?" And he said, "If you really knew who I am, you would ask me for a drink and I would give you living water." The woman did not understand. She thought Jesus was saying he could give her water from the well. "Sir," the woman said, "you don't have anything to get water out of this deep well. How do you expect to get living water to give me?" And Jesus replied, "Whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never get thirsty or have to come continually here to draw water." At this time, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have spoken truly in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. And this you have spoken truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see and understand that you are a prophet." Like a lot of times when we're reading God's word, we'll say, "How do you know these things about me?" So, where am I? The woman said to him in verse 25, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ, the Anointed One. And when he arrives, he will tell us everything we need to know and make it clear to us." Jesus said to her, "I who now speak to you am he." And then the woman left her water jar and she went away to the town and she began telling the people. She just dropped it in a moment. She got it. This is the Son of God. Can you remember when you first heard the gospel. And you were probably at that well in your life. I remember I was, Mike and I just came back from Germany. We had our first baby. And I was searching and I was asking, I was just asking God, what happens to me or my baby if we die? Is there a heaven? Where do we go? I grew up in a church, but I didn't have a personal, I wanted a personal relationship with God. I wanted it to be real. And I was in my mom's kitchen, and I turned, this was August 4th, 1974. That's my birthday. And I turned the radio on, and I heard the gospel for the first time, and it was Pastor Stevens talking about the woman at the well. And I got down on my knees, and I asked Christ in my heart. And I knew someone stepped into my life, into my heart. And I couldn't put it in words, but I was hungry. We went back to Germany for a year, and then it was time to come back to the States. And I remember praying and saying, God, I said, help me to find a church. Help me to find a pastor. I need your word. I want to grow in a word of God relationship. Help me to be fed. And he was so faithful. From then on, we came back in 1975, and I am so indebted and grateful to the many pastors and their wives and the body of Christ believers who have loved me and invested in my life, all of you. And in verse 28, it says, the woman left her water jar, went away to the town, and she began telling other people. And can you remember how excited you were? You couldn't wait to tell your family and friends. You couldn't wait to go in your town and, you know, be a soul winner and share Christ with others. And there were, in 39, this is what impressed me too. You didn't know her name. You didn't know the name of her family. She's just the woman at the well. Now, numerous Samaritans from that town believed in and trusted in him because of what the woman had said and testified. He told me everything that I ever did. But then in 41, it says, then many more believed in, adhered to, relied on him because of his personal message, what he himself said. And they told the woman, now we no longer believe, trust, and have faith just because of what you said. We have heard him ourselves personally, and we know that he truly is the Savior of the world, the Christ. And isn't that our heart? You know, as we continually minister to our church family, our own families, that they would come and they would personally get to know Christ, not because of our word, but because of what, how he's drawing them. So that was the first woman at the well and how he changed her life in a moment, and she became a soul winner. She put down her jar. The second one is a bride for Isaac. This is Rebecca at the well. This is good. Okay. In the Old Testament, the second story of a woman at the well, a bride for Isaac. We have all been to weddings. Maybe you knew the bride and the groom and you heard stories, how they met, how they grew in love with each other. The Bible tells us a true story of an unusual way two people met and were married. And this is in Genesis 24, 1 to 67. It's the longest chapter in Genesis, but it's devoted to this very important story. Abraham and Sarah's son Isaac grew up. Abraham wanted just the right wife for Isaac. Abraham believed it would be better for Isaac to have a wife who came from Abraham's family. Abraham was very old now. He called his trusted servant Eliezer. Abraham said to Eliezer, I want you to go to my old country and get a wife for Isaac. Eliezer promised Abraham to do as he said. When he arrived in the town where Abraham's relatives lived, he was hot, he was tired, he was thirsty, and he stopped near a well so he could get a drink. As the hot day grew cooler, the girls of the town came to the well to get water for their families. Eliezer got down from his camel and he prayed, "Oh Lord, please help me today. As the girls of the town come to draw water, show me which one is the girl for Isaac. When I say to this girl, 'Please give me a drink,' let the right girl be the one who says to me, 'Here is a drink for you.' And I will also draw water to give for your camels." And camels are pretty thirsty. He had over 10 of them. So Eliezer finished praying, and this beautiful girl named Rebecca came to the well to get water. And when she had drawn water, Eliezer went to her and said, "Please give me a drink." "Here, drink," said Rebecca. "I will draw water for your camels too." Eliezer knew that God had brought him to the right girl for Isaac. The servant asked if he could stay with her family, and Rebecca quickly went to tell them. That night, Eliezer told Rebecca's family all that had happened to Abraham and how Abraham had sent him to find a wife for Isaac. Eliezer explained now and how he had prayed, and God answered his prayer by sending him Rebecca. The family agreed that God wanted Rebecca to go with the servant to marry Isaac. These like cards are very comforting to me, because when I was reading them in my quiet little classroom, you know, it was just the presence of God. The next morning, Rebecca left with Eliezer when they were, and that's like the next day. She met him at the well. The very next day, she went with him. When they were still a little way from Abraham and Isaac's home, Isaac saw them and walked out to meet them. "Who is that man?" Rebecca asked Eliezer. "That is Abraham's son, Isaac." When Isaac met Rebecca, he knew that she was the woman God wanted him to marry. As I was reading this story in Genesis 24, and just going over some of it, you know how in your Bible at the bottom there are like little study notes? And it was saying how this chapter is compared to, it's highly illustrative of God our Father, who sends forth his Holy Spirit to win the consent of an individual soul to become the bride of his son. Keeping these resemblances in mind as you read and see how the story unfolds, first meet the father and note his concern about his son's bride. He wants just the right bride for his son. And I was just thinking of all of you ladies, you are his bride, and how God wants just the right son, just the right bride for his son. Then get acquainted with the Holy Spirit's great, selfless heart, whose one purpose is to win the girl for his master's son. Remember how he won us? Then meet the son and note his tenderness as he claims his bride. As I was thinking and reading about this story, I thought of the body of Christ. I thought of all of you believers who really are his bride. You are his bride. And when we believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we drank of that living water that gives us eternal life. And I just wanted to just take the time right now. I was thinking, you know, when you go to a wedding, it's a lot of fun. It's also a lot of hard work. There's a lot of details in the preparation of a wedding and getting the bride ready. And we all, I'm sure, have personal stories and remembrances of our own family members. But I was thinking in particular of the many pastors and their wives who have faithfully encouraged, they have served the body with a cup of living water to all of us. And I'm like a cheerleader right now, and I just want to cheer on the many pastors and their wives who give us that cup of cold water. And I was thinking of Pastor Shalom and Lisa. Last week when we were walking all the kids to the gym on Friday, there was probably over 40 little children, 2 to 5 year olds. And I just saw Pastor Shalom sitting at the picnic, at the table right in front of the chapel by himself, quiet. And it just looked like he was praying. And as we were walking by him, we're all waving, "Hi, Pastor Schaller," and he's waving back to them. And as I was going into my class, I was saying, I can't imagine the burdens that he carries for us personally, for our church, for worldwide missions. And I was just saying in my heart, I would never want to add to that burden. And help us to discern where to be fitly framed in our church and our ministry, and just how to walk alongside him, walk alongside, you know, this body as believers, you know, to share the gospel and to share this good news wherever he puts us. And I was thinking of Lisa, and oh my gosh, I have the best memories with her during conventions especially. She would be in that one-year-old nursery room, and she ran a tight ship. She had her grandkids and the teenagers, and she would have them fed, give them their bottle, change their diapers, clean. They would be in their beds sleeping. This is like on a Wednesday night, and I'll never forget this one Wednesday night at convention there, when there were almost 120 children. And so right in the middle of that session, the air conditioner went down, and we're like, ah! So I'm running around, and I'm putting fans up, trying to keep the air circulating, keeping it cool. And it happened, and I'm also trying to keep me cool, because I'm in the middle of, what do you call it? Menopause. And I'm like, God, I have the bone to pick with you. Why menopause? And he's like, because of the fall. And I'm trying not to melt in a puddle when the parents are coming to pick up their kids. And like, that's what we do. That's how we just love. We serve the body. We love your children. And we just have so much fun. And I have the best memories. But I want to continue. Pastor Shibeli, Linda. Linda's affectionately called Mama Linda to all the Bible College students and many African missionaries, and to us behind the scenes and staff. She just always lovingly, you know, encourages us. Then I'm saying all of these precious people because keep in mind, we're the bride, we're the body of Christ, and they're continually edifying us, continually. I think of Pastor Love and Maureen, Pastor Shibley, and Casey. And you see them at the potlucks, these girls always reaching out, building up ladies. Pastor Hadley and Nancy. Nancy's in the nursery helping in the Sunday school in the mornings. And she supports her husband, who is the chaplain to the inner city police officers. Pastor Cannon and his wife, Mary Jo, he's teaching Bible college. She is so kind and edifying if you get to know her. Pastor Wright and Angie, she's the fifth grade teacher at GGCA and the music director. He's pastor in Habit of Grace. Pastor Andrew Lonis and Jean Marie. Jean Marie, thank you. You've done a beautiful job heading up the women's seminar today. And Pastor Andrew Lonis, I would say for the past 10 years, would always come in and pray once a week with all these little kids. And now he's passed that baton on to his son, Pastor Paul. So he comes in with his little Ella, Alabella, and he prays for us once a week. And it's just wonderful to see the parents and their children and grandchildren, the next generation. And then I'm thinking of, who else? There's so many of you. Coach Lynch and Jen, who have practically raised our kids on the sports arena with godly character. And they still have godly character. Even though some of them may be characters, they still have character. Thank you, Jen, and your husband. Pastor Lange and Paula on the mission field serving our international schools. Pastor Taggart and Missy. I know I saw you somewhere, Missy. And Pastor O'Connell and Bernadette, head of operations, head of finances. I just love them so much. And they have to have a lot of wisdom, discernment, in the direction of our campus and all the details that unfolds. And I their wives are funny. They're so edifying and loving and kind. Oh my gosh, they put up with us. And I just love you. Thank you so much. And then you've got Pastor Barry and Veronica. He's Pastor Barry, our principal, his wife, who's always edifying, kind. She's laughing. Pastor Pete with Stara and Debbie. He's with the youth ministry. She assists in the finance office. So this is just to name a few who have personally touched our lives to encourage us. And they, all of you, we're adorning each other as the bride. We're his bride. And I just, you know, it's a heart-to-heart relationship. And how God wants just the right bride for his son. And recently I sat in a Friday night's Bible college class with Pastor Shibeli. And I don't know about you, but when you were a bride, were you looking for commitment? I know I was looking for commitment. I want commitment. And and I was just, Pastor Shibeli, beautifully in that class, he must have named over 40 of God's commitments to us. It was packed from front to back, that college class, with many young Bible college students, and I saw them drawing near. It reminded me of verse 24:13. See, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming to draw water. Pastor Shibeli used the word parathike, P-A-R-A-T-H-E-K-E, to draw near, to put in. And God is putting something into me. He is depositing something into me, and that's commitment. He saves me. The Holy Spirit is in me. He gives me a new heart for his thoughts and his ways. Sometimes the word is used to place down in you. God has placed himself in us, and God is committed to me. And I just wanted to just quote real quick some of these commitments. I'm not going to say the Bible verses, but I just want to stir them up in you as we are these women at the well. And we're getting a cup of cold water, and I hope this really blesses you. And these are the quotes from Pastor Shibeli. God is committed to love you. That means regardless of what takes place, it's an eternal and personal commitment. God is committed to deliver me from evil. I have the Bible verses if you want them after. God's commitment, his grace for every single situation. He's committed to be faithful to me. God is committed to glorify himself in me if it means taking me home early. God is committed to teach me the Bible, give me mercy, to bear fruit in my life with me, with souls and relationships, to protect me, to provide for me. He's Yahweh Jireh. I don't pray about money. I say, God, what is your will? He is committed to help me every day. Is your thirst getting quenched? He will lead and guide me as individuals and as a church. He's committed to strengthen me. He encourages me. God is committed to test me. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. He's committed to use me, to care for me. How committed is God? He gives us his own body. We're baptized into one body, the body of Christ, his bride. God is committed to preach the gospel, to give me light in my darkness, to train me, to keep me, to purify me, to make me holy, to give me hope, to intervene, to remember me. When people forget you, God never does. Help me experience my victory in Christ, to answer prayer, to fill me, to convict me of sin, to build me, to reward me. God is committed to give me a purpose, to his call in my life, to give me his will, to quicken me. God has committed his presence to me, his peace to me. You hear these amazing messages from our pastors, so many of them in this ministry, that have gone out into all the world with the gospel, Greater Grace World Outreach. And as we keep drinking from the well of living water, he gives me a new heart for his thoughts and his ways. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. So I don't know about you, but when it's I want to be all decked out with Bible doctrine when I meet my groom, Jesus Christ, and we meet him heart to heart and face to face. So I was just thinking of these two women at a well. I was thinking of all of our lives who were at that well personally, and when Christ stepped in, how it changed our lives in a moment and the direction that we took with our lives. So I was just thinking about this song. I've been singing this song all week, and if it's all right, may I sing this song? And if you know it, you're welcome to sing with me. All right. I was searching in my heart. I found Christ and had to part. God gave me a brand new heart. I praise the Lord, I praise him now. The Holy Spirit will teach me how. And today my knees will humbly bow. I love you, Jesus. Yes, I love you, Jesus. I love you with all my heart. I will worship, I will sing. Souls to Christ I will bring. To the altar where he'll do his part. Lord, I love you. And we just thank you that you met us at that well. And I just pray, Lord, that if there's one lady here who doesn't personally know you, that she would drink from your living water, ask you into her heart, and just say, Jesus, come in my heart, be my Savior, and enjoy his presence, enjoy a Word of God relationship. It's full here. And we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for souls that many of these precious ladies have touched. Lord, you're preparing a bride for your son. And we love you and we worship you today. Amen.
So kind. Just a little commercial break. You may have seen on the website the purse-to-purse thing that we're doing, or you may have read it in your bulletin, or you may have already packed something and brought it and dropped it off at the table, and you may be wondering, what the heck are those girls doing? So Dawn's going to tell you.
They gave me a few minutes, so this is going to be quick and hopefully get to the point. I saw online last year, someone in Canada was doing some drive. They were doing this kind of in their own way. And it was for women. It was women helping women. So I host a monthly Bible study at my house. And I use that as the platform to kind of launch this out. I'm great at ideas, but I'm not so good at implementing ideas. So I threw it out there and I said, what do you guys think? And I had a group of women, and Michelle was actually our speaker the month that I was pushing this. And God knew, because I can't come up with the way to do it, so he brought in Michelle, who I didn't know was so gung-ho. And so I told her, you know, God really put this on my heart. I think we should do this. And she says, okay, don't worry about it. I got this. And I said, I don't know what you mean by that, but we'll see what happens. And this whole thing that started in Canada, I saw online last year, we put it together. And I have my notes here. Our goal was 10 purses. Collecting 10 purses, donating your purses away. The bigger, the better, because we can put more stuff in them. Our goal was 10. We hoped 12. we got 24. It was amazing. It wasn't just the hearts of the women donating, it was the time that we put into it together. I didn't know Michelle very well. I knew her, you know, from a distance, and we became close through it, but also the women that were with us. We had about nine women that came to the Bible study to hear Michelle speak, but then also we had all of this stuff, purses, donated supplies. We put gum and deodorant, feminine products. Women, come on. Homeless women without feminine products. Can you just imagine? I promised I wouldn't do this. So we want to do it again through our church, but we're also asking if you guys take it to your church and do it. And do it for the women that are homeless in your area. Because I gave them out on Christmas Day. It was amazing. Just the whole thing was amazing. It's just a beautiful time of fellowship with each other, serving God and serving people who are less fortunate than us. And we have so much to give. So it was just a great time to just serve God with each other. So.
Good job. Good job. Okay, we have a drawing.
Actually, I'm sorry, Michelle. I said, can you do the drawing? But I wanted to say, we have three gift baskets that were donated from the different women's groups in our church. And this one is Give Thanks. And just to piggyback on the announcement about the purse to purse, there is going to be the afternoon session that Michelle is doing. You're not doing the purse to purse, but she has a special message about it. And on Thanksgiving morning and Christmas morning, our church does an outreach to the homeless down in the city. So this is from... this is a Give Thanks themed basket, so I thought it would be appropriate we do the first one as that, okay?
Sure. Okay, we're going to let Sue pick the ticket.
It's the ticket on the back of their program.
It's the ticket on your lunch program, your lunch ticket. So get your program out. And here's the last three numbers, 551. So look at your lunch ticket. Woo! Oh.
This is Melody. How do you say your last name?
Adonigi.
And she will be sharing in the afternoon with Nikki Cooper here in the chapel. Congratulations.
We have another one?
We'll do them later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
What happens now? Oh, take a look at the screens.
Mom's Bible.
Is it for anyone in particular?
It is for mothers of all ages.
And how can someone get involved in the mom's group?
Well, we meet on Thursdays at 10 a.m. in the cafe, and we have a Facebook site.
So if anyone would like any information on the mom's Bible study, there'll be flyers at the Welcome Center, or you can contact Abby Lanch.
So we're gonna actually sing another song before we hear our next speaker.
just to kind of break it up a little bit and, yeah, just think about what we just heard and just prepare our hearts to hear the next words that are going to touch us. And you can stand again, actually. Let's all stand. And
place, the warmth of your glory shining. of joy is here in this place. The warmth of your glory shining down on my face. And my one desire to feel your embrace, a foretaste of heaven. Oh, we love your presence.
You know, when Sue was speaking, I was thinking of the song we sang before that. You know, I can just see the woman at the well dancing. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus. Yeah, it was just, that was so appropriate. Thank you so much for that. Never get familiar with a Bible story, right? Never know when it's going to be due from heaven just for us. You mean, I was thinking, you know, in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, it says, "And I will give them one new heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." It's like that well. Never despise trials or suffering or the valley of indecision, because it's amazing to have heard those words from you. The truth prevails, right? Okay, now to Miss Kim. I have watched Kim from a distance, like Don watched Michelle from a distance. But I can say this one thing about Kim personally. She carries this spirit on her face. Her Christianity is not hidden. She wears it, and it's contagious, and it dispels darkness. When I think of Kim, that's what I think of, like just wearing my faith. You know, so I'm going to read a quote and then I'll interject. I asked Kim what she would like to say, and these are some of the thoughts. "I'm a child of the King, a daughter, a sister, a wife, a mother, a mother-in-law, a grandmother, a friend, a member in the body of Christ. Of this particular church, she's been a member for 45 years. I graduated from the Christian school in Lenox, Massachusetts, and moved with my husband and our first son to Baltimore in 1987, which is when the ministry moved here. So she's been here since the very beginning. Presently, Kim is a director at the Greater Grace Learning Center, which is where Miss Sue works. So they're partners in crime. No, I'm kidding. Man, can't beat this. This is awesome. And here's my little interjection. There are not enough adjectives that would do justice to this amazing sister in Christ. Kim personifies a beautiful blend of elegance and spirituality. So please welcome with me, Kim Yanowski.
Is it okay if I...
Really?
Is this on? Is it okay if I start with something funny just because I'm nervous? And I was like Mary said, and just thank you for those kind words. It is definitely not easy to write anything about yourself. But I think that God just, as we grow in Him, like it's who in here could feel like they're worthy to sit up here? And just after Jean Marie talked with me, and, you know, I was sitting in the church and I was thinking, oh my gosh, Lord, there's so many people here in this place that could sit up there and have something to say. And I just realized really that it's really never about us, and just that Christ would be magnified. And I think I'm getting off track, but about the funny part. But it's really nice to sit up there because just to see everyone's faces, the light is a little bit blinding. But, oh my gosh, I'm just looking at everyone. And so I'm 49, which means I came to this church when I was 4. And I'm looking at so many of you that have known me since I was that young. And I just can't let another moment go by without saying thank you. Just for loving me, like from a little girl, many of you knew me in my teenage years as a young mother, for loving my family and just watching us grow up in the Lord. And we are a family, and actually it's very easy to be up here just because, like, I am you and you are me, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful to be a member in this body, and I'm also thankful to have my mom and my stepdad in this family, and my sister, my nieces and nephew. And I feel incredibly blessed, incredibly unworthy, but just, I have to keep telling myself that same Christ that's in Pastor Schaller, it's in me too. So, so God must have something for someone. But the funny thing that I wanted to say about Sue is working with her in the Learning Center. I hope I don't embarrass her, but she was talking about teaching preschool and having her Boston accent. And, you have to understand, like, Sue commands so much authority in the classroom, and it's like, whatever Sue says to these four-year-olds, it's the gospel truth. And so Angela Delaware told me the story of her son David, and they were learning a segment about the fiery darts. And so she had her son David out for a walk, and he was picking up all these berries, and he had a handful of berries, and he was, like, whipping them at something, a target or something, and Angela, being the teacher mom, was asking him, you know, all about what it was, and he was like, "Mom, these are the fiery dots that the that the devil wants to throws at us, and we have to, you know, block them with our armor." And she was like, "The dots, they're darts." And he was like, "No, Mom, they're dots." So. So. So you, when you send your children to the Learning Center, they'll leave with a Boston accent. So I think that's it. I think that that they have questions that they were just going to ask us, and then we would interject.
Okay, the first question, I mean, both of you could answer if you'd like. How do you have a heart-to-heart relationship?
Kim?
I know.
We're having a heart-to-heart chat on the stage right now, but you're leading it. We're going to ask you questions, and then you're starting, and then Sue can jump in too.
I think I would say first maybe transparency. Like, I have the worst time in relationships with someone that I sense is has a pretense, because it makes me insecure. So I feel like really, I'm rereading Pastor Stephen's book, Forgive Me, I'm Human, and I think a great place in relationship for me anyway to start is just to remember that no one's ever better than me, and like that we would just serve one another in love, and just again, it's just never about me, it's just always about like the other people in my life. And just I love that song that she sang, just that your presence would be in my life, that I would have your presence, and then it would just be an extension of myself in anything that I do, whether it's serving my husband or our children or my grandchildren or my daughter-in-law or in my job, which I feel so privileged to be in.
Just our heart-to-heart relationships. And again, it's encouraging each other, no matter where we are, you know, in our walk before God in relationships. We see, again, the finished work in each other. So understanding that, you're just going to encourage and hug and love. And, you know, through the years, I can't say how much I appreciate all of you who have just prayed with me, whatever's going on in our lives, we see each other in passing. It doesn't matter if we're in the parking lot or out in the hall, in the bathroom, wherever we are, we just embrace each other, we encourage each other, we love, we pray.
Second question. In the context of a theme, heart to heart, what do you do when you want to tell someone they're crossing a line but don't want to hurt their feelings?
Back off. Again, just be transparent.
Yeah.
And just whatever's on your heart, express it. Communication's the key. It's such the key. And thinking with God, get his heart, his mind for the situation, for that person that you feel may be crossing that line. Just communication's the key. Keep pursuing it. Keep encouraging.
Yeah, I think for me, I would just, and I'm not good at this, that's why I thank you all for loving me, because I think that it, you know, it takes wisdom, and I'm like incredibly aggressive. But it's my heart to be very loving, and I think anyone that, if I would know someone well enough to feel like there was something in their life that I would want to say, I would pray that they would realize that I love them more than, like, my beyond my personality, which yeah. sometimes is too aggressive. But I think it's just that we serve one another in love, and if we truly love someone, like, wouldn't we, and for to do it to myself, you know, someone to me also, like, wouldn't we love them enough to like show them something where they can grow, because, and like something that they can't see. So I think maybe it would just be, did I get off track? Just that we would love someone enough that yeah. we wouldn't spare their emotion, or even sometimes I think maybe we risk the relationship if it's something that's very difficult for the person to hear. It could go for a very long time. Yeah. Like having the relationship be devastated, but I think that it's worth it because of love, like that we prefer them above like the relationship that we have that's sentimental toward them.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay, number three. How can we be sure that we're giving God's heart to others?
I think for me, the first thing would be that I know that I'm making sure that I'm filled every day with the Spirit and not living in the flesh or in my natural or in my personality or my disposition, which is always a challenge. But I think that God loves us, and we fail and we get up and we move on, and we just... I think we have to be confident in who Christ is in us, and that I don't know. I feel like
No, that's perfect.
Just I think it's I have a responsibility for myself first, that I would always just walk in the Spirit and reckon myself dead, and then I feel like there would only ever be an overflow from that, and but that I would also just always be available to self-correct. I'm getting off, because I know like in one moment you can be in the Spirit and then in the next you could just be like completely you've all seen me there, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens. Yeah,
but it's okay. Like I think that failure is just as important as success, because how could we ever know God's mercy and grace and love toward us if we were just always perfect?
Yeah.
So it's just like nothing is perfect and life isn't perfect, and we can just strive and work so hard to be perfect, and even to be the perfect friend and like give someone Christ perfectly, but it's in our flesh. And then we just feel miserably, and God is just so faithful to love us and to just Yeah, forgive us and love us and let us move on. And just that we have a new day every day, and that's a beautiful thing.
Perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Okay, our last question. What is the one piece of advice you'd share with moms?
I think maybe for me it would be that you'll probably never feel like you're getting it right.
Yep.
I think there's just all the time this somehow this pretend standard that we have in our mind that like things are supposed to be a certain way and dinner at a certain time and the house a certain way, and it's just life is not perfect, and that that we are actually the perfect parent for our children, and that God has perfectly equipped us in grace, and that we fail and we rebound in front of our family. And I truly feel, and I know this has happened in my children's lives, we have Tyler, our son, he's 29, he's married, and we have two grandchildren. And then we have Thomas, he's 18, he just graduated from high school. And I truly feel that it's incredibly important to raise your children in the body of Christ. Like, you can't subtract that from life. You have to make it a point, because the body of Christ makes up the difference. It fills in where we lack. It's like the pat on the back from someone in the church to our children, it's a part of molding them. And I think that, I guess that would be my one thing, is like, stay in the church. And you don't have to be perfect when you come. You could be a mess, like, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know, things falling out of the stroller as you're pushing. I feel like that it was like always the way that it was. You're just like, it's a wing and a prayer. You're just like, you know, squealing into the parking lot and just like wondering if you turned off the stove. But you just come, and then and I think that's just where God like meets us. And then like, you're all so important to us. I just feel like if anyone were to take that out of their children's lives, like that, there's an accountability there when the body of Christ is available. Like, wouldn't we just do that? Bring them to the body. And I know the church has been through things. No, nothing's perfect. Life isn't perfect because God is the provision. Like, how could life be perfect? We would never need God. So we're imperfect parents. We're imperfect in the body, but Christ is perfect and somehow he's manifested. And thank God for the days when the parent isn't spiritual, because someone else will be. And that's why they, you know, that's like why, I think why you need to come down as much as you can, because someone else, you know, someone will set them straight.
It's perfect. Yeah. That was perfect.
Sue?
Yeah, just, I agree with her, you know, just you're encouraging young moms, or even us old moms, just to draw near to God, to his word. You can hear it anytime during the day, and get around the body. You'll be at, it's a mystery. It's like whatever you're going through, and you're here, you know, at a wrap amidst the body. Someone always has a kind word in season to encourage us, to pray with us, and to keep us going forward as we raise our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And I thought that was perfect. It was perfect, Miss Kim.
I feel like I'll never forget the story of the clog, the wood and the wood and the craftsmanship and the size, and then the perfect. It's awesome. And I do want to just say one more thing, because I know that you gave me liberty to that for that, but I did tell Jean Marie that I didn't feel so confident with anything like coming up with a message, just because I've never done it before. But I told her if God had anything on my heart that I would try and share it. And I think I felt at ease that this is just heart to heart, because I think, like, in the years past, the women's seminars have been like so dynamic that you just feel incredibly intimidated, like you have to be like a performer or something. And I'm just, this is not who I am. But August was like a very interesting month for our family. My husband is in business, and he's been with that same business partner for like 13 years, and then his partner came down with like this unbelievable like sickness, and the short of it is that he'll be okay, but he had to have emergency back surgery for a tumor that was took forever to identify. Before they identified the tumor, they thought that he might have had like ALS or something that was like, you know, could turn out to, you know, take his life. And it was like very devastating for me and my husband, because when you're, you know, in business with someone for that long and it's just the two of them, you know, it's the business is like a marriage. And we were just like thinking, oh my gosh, how could, you know, just, I don't, it doesn't need to be so long, but just, it just stops you in your tracks, and it makes you realize once again that, oh my gosh, life isn't so perfect, and everything that we have, it's not written in stone. Like in our lives, that we would just never take anything for granted, because even the things that you do every single day, you may never have them. And I think that came upon us. And then our son Thomas got he had a really bad injury, like right in the middle of that. And so we're like thinking that is my husband's business partner's dying, and then Thomas is injured, and we had to travel to meet him at the hospital in the ER, and he ended up having emergency surgery. And I felt like everything was just like swirling around us, but at the same time there was like this incredible just sense of peace, because I just in my life I understand that God is perfect in all of his ways, and we really don't even have to, for me anyway, I know we don't, it's like of course we're accountable and we have a plan and we have a purpose, but I think beyond that, for me, we don't ever really have to try and make anything work, because God works things out in his way so much more perfect. And so we basically, my husband and I, were like, well, okay, if, you know, we can always get a job. It could be worse. He could be the sick one. And then our son, you know, having the surgery, and God covered that, and people prayed, and it was, there's a testimony in that too. But the verse that God gave me when we got home from being overnight in the hospital up in Pennsylvania, which was unplanned, was Jeremiah 18:6, and it's about the potter and the clay. But I'd never just seen this one little segment, and it spoke to me. And I think if God could touch you with anything today, it would just be Jeremiah 18:6 or 8. It's that, so ye are in my hand. And I just thought that was so loving from God for me in my family, that he just would say in the scripture, like, that you're in my hand, and, you know, that's it. And the rest is just, it will all get worked out, and maybe, like, all the things that I think I thought I should have, or the way things that should happen, it doesn't always happen that way, but it's okay, because God is, like, such a perfect provision in everything. And at the end of the day, I think it's just that we would know him. Like Pastor Schaller has told us, it's about relationship. And if we have a relationship with Christ, all the other things are just like fluff that he adds to us. But I think that's it. Just so ye are in my hand. And I like to picture myself just in God's hand, and that we just know that for our life. Because I think you sit here and you see people, and I just say, Lord, like, people have like real trials and real real situations in their lives, and I just am confident in knowing that God will always take care of us. Nothing goes past his permission, his eyesight, his loving care, and we are in his hand, and he is our provision in everything, and he's provided for us his word, and then the body, and that, you know, the fullness is there.